Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Crosses and Land Transfers Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On April 28, 2010, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Salazar v. Bono. The questions in this case were 1. Whether Bono had Article III standing to bring an Establishment Clause suit challenging the display of a religious symbol on government land, and 2. Whether an act of Congress that transferred ownership of government land on which the religious symbol resided to a private entity was a permissible remedy if an Establishment Clause violation existed. In a series of opinions, none of which was joined by a majority of the court ruled that Bono had standing to bring the suit, but that the case should be remanded to the Court of Appeals for further proceedings. To discuss the case, we have Villanova University School of Law Associate Professor Michael P. Moreland. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Moreland.
This is Michael Moreland from Villanova University School of Law, summarizing the Supreme Court's decision in Salazar v. Bono, which was handed down by the Supreme Court on April 28th. Some brief factual background to the case. The case involves a cross in the Mojave Desert, which was erected as a war memorial in 1934. A National Park Service employee brought suit on Establishment Clause grounds challenging the presence of the cross on federal land. The plaintiff won in district court and in the Ninth Circuit on appeal back in 2002. But in the meantime, Congress authorized transfer of the land to the Veterans of Foreign Wars by a statute in 2004. The plaintiff went back to the district court to enjoin enforcement of the Congressional Land Transfer Statute, and he prevailed there in the district court, which held that the injunction that applied in the first case also enjoined implementation of the Land Transfer Statute. That, again, was upheld by the Ninth Circuit, and then the Supreme Court granted cert on the issue. There are really two issues in the case. First, whether the plaintiff has standing in the first place to challenge the presence of the cross on federal land. And second, the Establishment Clause issue, the more interesting issue, I suppose, for most people, about whether or not there could be such a war memorial cross on federal land. One would think it'd be pretty easy to resolve the case either on the standing ground or, assuming that the plaintiff has standing, finding one way or the other on the Establishment Clause issue, but it's not so easy. The bottom line from the case is that it resulted in a 5-4 decision reversing the district court's injunction and remanding the case back to the district court to consider more carefully the implications of the federal land transfer statute. The problem, for those of us seeking to understand the case, is the splintered reasoning that the court gave in support of that outcome. First, Justice Kennedy, writing for the plurality of the court, joined by Justice Alito and Chief Justice Roberts, held first that the plaintiff did have standing. Now, it wasn't on account of most of the usual arguments for standing, cognizable injury and such. Rather, the primary point Justice Kennedy makes with respect to standing is that the government's failure to challenge the plaintiff's standing in the first phase of the litigation, that is, when he was challenging merely the presence of the cross on federal land before the land transfer statute, that made that judgment final and that the plaintiff is now merely trying to enforce relief he has already won. So, notwithstanding the plaintiff's ability to bring his claim to enjoin implementation of the land transfer statute, the plurality nonetheless concluded that the district court failed to properly assess the statute's significance to the case. And Justice Kennedy said that the district court improperly asserted that Congress's motives were illicit and so invalidated the land transfer statute. As Justice Kennedy writes in page 16 of the slip opinion, the district court failed to consider whether, in light of the change in law and circumstances affected by the land transfer statute, the reasonable observer standard continued to be the appropriate framework through which to consider the Establishment Clause concerns invoked to justify the requested relief. And so, because the statute changes the application of the Establishment Clause in the case, Justice Kennedy argues that the Supreme Court should send the case back to the district court for reassessment in light of that. So again, the plurality's conclusion is that on the one hand, yes, the plaintiff does have standing to pursue his claim in light of the final judgment in the earlier litigation that wasn't challenged by the government that he did have standing, but that the district court improperly went ahead and enjoined implementation of the land transfer statute And the case now goes back, Justice Kennedy says, for the district court to more carefully assess whether or not the second injunction is within the scope of the relief requested in the first phase of the litigation. There is some interesting language in Justice Kennedy's plurality opinion, though, that indicates that on the Establishment Clause issue as such, that the plurality is inclined to find that the cross is permissible. As he says at one point on page 17 of the slip opinion, the district court did not attempt to reassess the findings of the first phase litigation in light of the policy of accommodation that Congress had embraced. Rather, the district court concentrated solely on the religious aspects of the cross, divorced from its background and context. But a Latin cross, Justice Kennedy writes, is not merely a reaffirmation of Christian beliefs. It is a symbol often used to honor and respect those whose heroic acts, noble contributions, and patient striving help secure an honored place in history for this nation and its people. Here, one Latin cross in the desert evokes far more than religion. Justice Alito joined almost all of Justice Kennedy's opinion, except for the decision of the plurality to remand the case to the district court. Instead, Justice Alito concurred on the grounds that not only should the statute be implemented, but that the court doesn't need to send the case back to the district court for determination on that, but could just go ahead and order implementation of the statute straight up. Chief Justice Roberts, interestingly, also concurred in a very brief one-paragraph concurrence, citing the fact that at oral argument, respondents' counsel stated that it likely would be consistent with the injunction for the government to tear down the cross, sell the land to the VFW, and return the cross to them, with the VFW immediately raising the cross again. Chief Justice Roberts suggests that there's no need to go through such a sort of elaborate way of curing the Establishment Clause violation, that instead the court should just merely allow the government to transfer the land and for the VFW to keep the cross up. So that's the plurality opinion of Justice Kennedy, joined by Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Alito, arguing that the plaintiff has standing, but that the district court's injunction preventing implementation of the land transfer statute was inappropriate, and therefore the case must go back to the district court for reassessment of whether or not that injunction is within the scope of the injunction entered in for the plaintiff in the first phase of the litigation. Now, things get a little more interesting when we figure out how we get from the 3 votes in the plurality to the 5 votes that send the case back to the district court. Justice Scalia, joined by Justice Thomas, concurred in the judgment, but on the grounds that the plaintiff does not have standing. Justice Scalia, and again joined by Justice Thomas, argued that the plaintiff is not seeking merely to enforce his original injunction that he won in the first phase of litigation, but rather an expansion of it here by enjoining implementation of a federal statute. As Justice Scalia argues, a new claim for relief here requires a new standing analysis, which he finds the plaintiff here has not met. That is to say, he hasn't shown that he suffered an injury cognizable under Article 3's case and controversy requirement. Therefore, the plaintiff doesn't have standing, and once again, the plaintiff should lose. So that gives the government, if you will, 5 votes on its side that the circuit court's decision affirming the district court's injunction against the federal statute should be remanded, but again on very different grounds. 3 grounds saying that the plaintiff has standing. There are 3 justices arguing that the plaintiff has standing, but that the district court acted too rashly in enjoining implementation of the federal land transfer statute, and then 2 justices, Justice Scalia and Justice Thomas, arguing that the plaintiff doesn't have standing in the first place, once again though on the government side of the case. There were 4 justices in dissent. The lead dissent was written by Justice Stevens, joined by Justice Ginsburg and Justice Sotomayor. Justice Stevens argues that implementation of the statute itself would fail the endorsement test, sort of the leading test for analysis of Establishment Clause issues now. And Justice Stevens argues at one point in his opinion that the presence of such a cross is an inescapably sectarian message, and that even if Congress transfers the land to the veterans of foreign wars, it won't evade this inescapably sectarian message. Therefore, the district court was right in enjoining not only in the first phase of the litigation the presence of the cross on federal land, but now in the second phase of the litigation, enforcing that original judgment by enjoining the federal land transfer statute. Justice Breyer dissented, but on separate grounds and much narrower grounds. Justice Breyer argues that there's no Establishment Clause issue in the case at all. In fact, he argues it's not a constitutional question, but rather it's a question in this case of the law of injunctions. Justice Breyer argues that the question here is whether or not the second injunction, that is the injunction against implementation of the federal land transfer statute, was within the relief requested in that was granted in the first phase of the litigation against the presence of the cross on federal land. That, he says, is a question of abuse of discretion by the district court, that is to say whether or not the district court abused its discretion in concluding that the land transfer statute violated the initial injunction. If not, then, as Justice Breyer writes, there's no federal question of general significance. So Justice Breyer dissents, but not on the grounds, as the other three dissenters, that the presence of the cross, even through a land transfer, would be an inescapably sectarian message, but rather on the much narrower grounds that the law of injunctions in this case leads one to conclude, Justice Breyer says, that the district court did not abuse its discretion in enjoining, in the second phase of litigation, implementation of the federal land transfer statute. So what do we make of all this mess? Well, first, there's no general ruling in the case on any establishment clause question of any significance. That is to say, the court did not resolve, as some thought they might, whether this public display of a religious symbol is permissible, thus putting this case in the same category, say, as the Ten Commandments cases from a few years ago. So the court didn't squarely reach any such establishment clause issue here. There also wasn't any resolution of the interesting question of whether the government can cure an Establishment Clause violation or how the government can go about curing an Establishment Clause violation. That is to say, there wasn't a resolution in this case as to whether or not transferring the land from the government to a private party can cure the Establishment Clause violation that the district court in the Ninth Circuit found in the first phase of the litigation. Rather, as I mentioned, the case now goes back to the district court in California to consider more carefully whether blocking implementation of the land transfer statute is within the scope of the original injunction. Nonetheless, there were clear signals from the three justices in the plurality, Justice Kennedy, Chief Justice Roberts, and Justice Alito, that the land transfer is outside the original injunction and should be implemented. And of course, Justice Alito, concurring separately, says that squarely. The plurality also signals that the cross does not violate the Establishment Clause, the language that I quoted earlier from the slip opinion in which Justice Kennedy says that the Latin cross in the desert evokes far more than religion here, but is instead an appropriate symbol of memorial to fallen soldiers. With that plurality, joined by Justices Scalia and Thomas, who are in other cases friendly to such public displays of religious symbols, there would appear to be five votes in an appropriately presented case for the cross to remain. It's just that given the procedural stance in which this case arose, the case has to go back to the district court now on remand before any such Establishment Clause issue could be squarely presented. So with that, we'll wait and see what the district court does and whether or not the Supreme Court will hear this case again in a different procedural posture. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.